Good morning. It's 11 minutes before 8 o'clock. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. The small flags on the courthouse lawn in Sitka this week make a statement that is difficult to hear. The hundreds of flags represent the domestic violence calls that police respond to and the victims and children involved in domestic violence in town in a single year. October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. The local Domestic Violence Task Force and even Governor Sean Parnell are maintaining a full-court press to keep the problem in the public eye. Parnell wasn't in Sitka yesterday specifically to talk about domestic violence, but the Choose Respect campaign has become his signature social issue. Speaking to the Sitka Chamber of Commerce in the middle of a federal government shutdown as his administration begins to piece together a state budget for next year, the governor said he appreciated the town's participation in Choose Respect.
And somebody who is experiencing domestic violence sees the newscast of you on TV or sees the pictures of you gathered. They then call their domestic violence shelter because they know that this is not normal, that they don't have to bear this as their normal, and that you actually care enough to step forward for an hour of your lunchtime in March to do something about it.
Choose Respect began in 2010 with 18 Alaskan communities and has grown to 150. The event is held on the last day of March. Building awareness sounds cliché around any social issue, but Parnell sees it as a real tool for reversing what he describes as an epidemic.
We've raised awareness so that people have permission now to speak. We've given them cultural permission to speak. So when you're out with your buddies on a deer hunt or a moose hunt, it's okay to ask how things are going at home. And if you sense something is wrong there, bring it up, speak it up, and say you care about them enough to get them help if they're willing to come with you. That's what we've done, is we've given them permission to speak about these unspeakable things.
Domestic violence calls are one of the things that we go on most, and it's also one of the most dangerous calls that we go on.
That's Sitka Police Chief Sheldon Schmidt. On the courthouse lawn this week, there are 157 blue flags representing police calls. There are over 500 yellow flags representing crisis calls, 130 flags for the women who have spent a night at Sitka's domestic violence shelter, and 89 green flags for the children who have accompanied them. Police are the first responders in a domestic violence call. Schmidt says that starts a chain of events.
First thing we're going to do is try to calm the situation and then determine whether a crime has been committed. And if a crime has been committed, then we're mandated to make an arrest.
Prosecuting domestic violence is complicated because it involves people who love each other.
Elizabeth Schaefer is the victim witness paralegal in the district attorney's office in Sitka.
They're not strangers. They have children. When he isn't using or she isn't using or drinking, they're a wonderful either mother, wife, or husband, father. And they have good times. So then it becomes very, very hard. Their hope is to be able to get back together and to mend this relationship and to have a healthy relationship.
Schaefer is busier than she should be in a place like Sitka. Victims of domestic violence may have injuries that need medical attention. Sometimes the injuries are not physical at all.
They come after a time of great shock. They've probably not had much sleep. They're worried about their children. They're worried about finances, housing, their job, child care.
Schaefer says the state is obligated to prosecute domestic violence cases if there's evidence of a crime, even if people want to get back together. She says sentencing sometimes involves coursework that can help defendants change their pattern of behavior. Governor Parnell takes credit for helping create the law that compels the state to prosecute domestic violence crimes. He was a young legislator in the 1990s in Anchorage and took ride-alongs with police. 65% of the calls were for domestic violence.
So I had those moments where I went into the home with the officer while he talked the woman and her children out of the closet, where they were hiding in fear. The perpetrator had already left once she called the police. Had the experience of seeing the tragic results of domestic violence at that time, and it became more real and more personal to me.
Parnell helped pass the Domestic Violence Prevention Act of 1996 when he realized there was no standard for prosecution in the state. It didn't cure the problem. As governor, he thinks the stakes have grown even higher.
I think this is a cancer that is eating us from inside, and unless we are willing to take action as individual Alaskans and collectively as Alaskans, the economy is not going to matter if we have people that can't function in school and can't function in the workplace because of these issues. So that's our challenge as Alaskans, is to bring it into the open, get people the help they need, and help restore and heal the wounded.
The flags on the courthouse lawn in Sitka will remain in place for about a week. Governor Parnell addressed many other topics in a town hall-style meeting with the Sitka Chamber yesterday. He also stopped by KCAW for an extended interview where he discussed the state's involvement in the Affordable Care Act. For excerpts of that interview, tune in Raven News tomorrow at this time. The U.S. Forest Service has decided to make changes in its Tongass Land Management Plan. That means users and interest groups will get to submit suggestions on road building, logging, stream restoration, and habitat protection. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
The decision is no surprise to anyone who follows Tongass politics. The Forest Service is required to consider opening the plan for changes every 5 years. It usually does, but can choose to leave the document as it is. Agency offices are closed due to the federal government shutdown, so no one was available to discuss the decision, described in a press release issued just before furloughs. The lengthy process concerns both advocates and critics of the way the Tongass is managed.
Once you open a plan and start changing a plan, everything comes to a screeching halt.
Shelley Wright is executive director of the Southeast Conference, which supports more logging and mining in the Tongass. The organization last month released its own Tongass management plan, which would remove some forest protections and allow more old-growth logging.
There is a silver lining, we hope, that the Forest Service will open their minds and their planning books and take a look at our strategy. A strategy that we feel is a good strategy for the environment and the economics and the social and cultural environment in Southeast Alaska.
You know, it's hard to conclude that the Forest Service is making good on its promise to rapidly transition out of old growth logging.
Austin Williams is Alaska Forest Program Manager for Trout Unlimited, which advocates protection and restoration of Tongass fish habitat. The group worries agency managers have set up too many timber sales in mature forests. Williams says that costs the government too much. He says the agency should do more to support the growing fishing and tourism industries.
There's really an opportunity right now for the Forest Service to help Southeast Alaska take advantage of this momentum and really start investing in the areas that really benefit Southeast Alaska.
The logging industry says it would be in better shape if it could access the timber promised in the current plan. Owen Graham is executive director of the Alaska Forest Association. He says mills and loggers have only gotten 20% of what was promised.
We weren't seeking a huge increase. We'd like to see a small increase in the amount of volume from what they have in T-Rump. But more than that, we want them to actually make changes so that they can implement the plan. But they can't implement the plan they have. So, you know, simply reducing the volume to 20% of what it was isn't a solution either.
A Forest Service press release says the plan modification, quote, is expected to focus on identifying the timber base suitable to support a transition to young growth management. Trout Unlimited's Williams supports the change from old to young growth.
We have some concerns that the transition is dragging out longer than it needs to. But we are encouraged that the Forest Service is at least trying to move away from the large-scale old-growth sales and into young growth and other types of projects.
Tongass officials have already received numerous suggestions about changing its management plan. Those came during the process of deciding to open up that document. In a September interview, before the government shut down, Tongass Supervisor Forrest Cole said he expected a lot more input.
I believe over the life of the current forest plan, we've probably looked at 30 or 40 different alternatives, and I'm guessing that we'll look at a wide variety again.
The Forest Service's press release did not include a comment deadline, meeting schedule, or overall timeline, and, due to the shutdown, no one could speak to those details. This is Ed Schoenfeld, reporting from Juneau.
You can read about timber cutting and stream restoration on the Tongass through links posted with this story on our website, kcaw.org. So Stone weather forecast today for Sitka and Port Alexander calls for becoming windy with rain heavy at times, temperatures steady around 54, southeast winds 15 miles per hour, increasing to 20 to 30 miles per hour with gusts to 40 miles per hour in the late morning. Tonight in Sitka and PA, rain heavy at times, lows around 47, southeast winds diminishing to 10 to 20 miles per hour this evening, gusts to 40 miles per hour. And tomorrow, showers, highs around 52, south winds 5 to 15 miles per hour. Currently, it's overcast and 55 degrees at the Cable House in downtown Sitka, and it's been raining intermittently this morning. In the community calendar today at kcaw.org, Sitka Fine Arts Camp presents a workshop for teens from the Michael Mao Dance Company this evening, 7 to 9 p.m. at Allen Hall. Previous dance experience is required. Call 747-3085 to sign up. And Friday, October 4th is Wear Pink to Work Day to raise awareness and show support for National Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Time now is 8 o'clock, straight up.
Hi, it's Steve Inskeep with Morning Edition from NPR News, reminding you of a big change in the media. More and more news organizations, bloggers, and others are discovering that the way to pay for media is to have the people who actually consume it pay the bills. It's a better way than relying largely on advertisers. And it's a new way for many people, but it is the way, the old way, the best way that public radio is financed. It happens because of people who listen, who support this public radio station. The largest single source of support for public broadcasting remains the people who use it. To help you get an informed start to your day, act in your enlightened self-interest and support Morning Edition and Raven Radio. Show your support today with a generous contribution. Thanks.
Raven Radio's Quiet Drive is happening now online at kcaw.org.